Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you once again for joining us. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with families from around the world, and I've just been able to really hone in on some of the things that many of us are thinking about, but not many people are really talking about. And these top professionals that are out there, they're helping people in so many different ways. We have skilled authors and people who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you can all do me a huge favor. Please check out some of our past shows at Answers for the Family to hear some informative and entertaining guests as well as dynamic co-hosts. They're going to discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know that can benefit from a particular subject. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and it's just another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, I can tell you that this is one of the shows that you are going to want to send out to as many people as you know, because this is a topic that I think is near and dear to all of us. So, now, we're going to start the show as we do all of our shows now with the question that is on many people's mind: where in the world is Gabriella?
Sorry, I always have to giggle when I hear you say that now. Gabriella is still in France. I'm not in Paris. I'm in the south of France in the Provence, and it's 70 degrees. So nice. It is delicious.
Well, now, for those that might be new listeners, share with people what you're doing on your Dare to Be Kind tour.
Okay, so the Dare to Be Kind movement is a global movement where we want to create safer communities. That's why we're traveling. And the method is truly kindness, and the vehicle is you. And that really means it's you. So I'm not taking you by the hand and telling you what to do. No, I'm giving you opportunities to find out that through kindness, we can actually eradicate every single thing you don't like on this planet. So, for example, if you don't like human trafficking and you're passionate about that, or you're passionate about suicides, or the elderly, or the homeless, or whatever it is that you know in your heart that you've seen someone suffer in some of these areas that I just said, we help you to make a difference in your 2 mile radius by doing the smallest deeds. And all these deeds have to do with giving your time, your effort, your passion, and we believe also your knowledge. Right, Alan?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that's great, too, for those that are out there is that, as Gabriella said, I mean, one act of kindness is going to make a difference in somebody's life. But the beauty of it is that they're going to pay it forward, because when you are kind to one person, they're going to have a better day. And if they have a better day, they're going to go out and they're going to be kind to other people. And as they're kind to other people, all of a sudden, we are making a difference. And that's why I'm just so thankful that you're out there. And again, for people that haven't listened, you know, Gabriella is taking 2 years out of her life to travel around the world and to spread kindness. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. And I can't believe my phone's ringing right now. I'm usually so good about shutting it off. And this is the one time in which I forgot. So
it's yeah. More than okay. Yeah. But you know what's really intriguing too is, for example, I happened to deviate for a week because I have an ailing father who's 90 and above. And it's so funny. You see so many incredibly stressed out people and they forget that we are there to not make it about us, but to make it about them. And maybe that's the best message for today for me, is that if you know anyone that's elderly out there, just remember that they benefit so much from you just coming by. You know, their faces light up. They might have Alzheimer's, they might have a dementia, mm-hmm. but there is somewhere deep inside that person is still in there. And there's just that flicker of hope that you bring when they see your face, when they, you know, they smell the fresh air on you. You know, like my dad smells in my hair when I give him a kiss on his forehead. He smells the sun in my hair. You know what I mean? That is truly kindness too. It's all kinds of stuff like that. Well, and because I see so many elderly when I'm walking around, I just give them a hug too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love it.
And I don't know them at all, but you should see how they light up, Alan. It's beautiful.
I'm smiling just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I'm with Al here today.
Yeah.
And what you said reminded me so much of a book that was written by Laura Huxley, who was the second wife of Aldous Huxley. And the book was called You Are Not the Target. And it was this whole idea that, that people shoot negative energy at you. They blow up at you when you're driving, whatever. And you can transform that into something positive. And if you don't, it comes out of you as something negative later. And it's just that we all have this responsibility. We could be collecting negative energy as people kind of scream at us or treat us without sincerity, and we can turn it into something positive for those around us. So what you're doing is so incredibly wonderful. I love that.
Thank you for saying that. We can really do that. But what's so funny is, you know, I do it kind of spontaneously. I have as a young child already. But what is funny is I get stopped if I ask someone, you know how you sometimes you're shy yourself? And I know, Alan, you don't believe me, but it is true. So sometimes you're shy and you ask the person next to you, should I? And the dumb part is the moment I do that and I see their face, I go, oh my God, why did I ask? Because they go, no, what is it to you? You shouldn't help him. He doesn't know you. He's going to hit you. And then I'm already out of the car or out of whatever it is. And because I know that I should have listened to my instinct and not at all ask if I should do it because I'm shy, right? And the moment I do, I have never had anyone treat me with negativity and say, no, lady, please don't talk to me. I don't want to hear your kindness. Nobody's ever said that. They have been grumpy, but I'm willing to accept the grumpiness. But what I usually see is that when I walk away, that grumpiness of theirs is transformed. And then when they do the double take, you know, when they still look back, in that double take, you see a smile in the corner of their lips. And it's beautiful.
Well, Gabriella, share with us how can people get involved? And what are some of the things that people can do to join the movement?
Okay. So what I'm really looking for is that you want to become a kindness instigator. And kindness instigator is really easy because Alan, you have to become a kindness instigator right away. Mm-hmm. He is already one, but I want him to be a public one. So that's one. Go to daretobekindmovement.com or .global. Dare to be Kind Movement, and you will find our website and you can sign up to become a kindness instigator, or if you know someone that should become one. It's all people that are doing good things in their own 2 mile radius. Anyone. And the second part I really, really, really love is because we want to interview you. So if you're doing, and I know the topic is human trafficking today, and I'm very, very passionate about it myself. So whether it's human trafficking, homelessness, any topic that you're passionate about, I want to hear from you. And I don't mind any age. We take any age, and I'm doing an interview for you, and I will integrate the interview, not only feature you on our website, but I will integrate the interview into a TV show. That's what I'm working on right now. And the last thing you could do is invite me to your schools or your community. On the 5th of April, I'm headed for Texas.
If you're in Texas now, what city will you be first?
I will go to Houston, and then I will go immediately down all the way to the border, because I'm helping the children that are kind of stuck in this politics and that are getting the brunt of whatever is happening at the border. So I'm there just to help the children and to work with any and every organization that is willing to help in that area. So I have been told that they could use an extra hand, and my Spanish is lousy, but you know what? Got the right attitude.
All right. So if for everybody out there, if you are part of a group that is anywhere near any of the border towns between, you know, the Texas and Mexican border, or anywhere between Houston and the border, go to the website and contact Gabriella and set it up, and she will come and join your whatever it is that you have going on, she will join. That's how great she is.
I'll be there for 2 weeks in that area trying to see how the Dare to Be Kind movement can help those children.
Well, Gabriella, thank you so much. You are so appreciated, and I always look forward to starting off the show with you.
Okay, thank you guys, and thank you for doing human trafficking today. And don't forget to mention that there's a big correlation between bullying and human trafficking too. We forget that sometimes.
Well, then it will be something that will be touched on, because we will also be talking about the Attitude is Everything Foundation, and I know that that's one of the things that they discuss also is anti-bullying.
100%.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for doing what you do. Keep safe to you guys.
Adios. Parlez-vous français. Le beau, oui, oui.
Oui, oui, très bien. Au revoir.
Okay. No, that's all I know. I don't even know what that was.
It was good. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we are going to be talking about, as Gabriella said, we're going to talk a little bit about human trafficking and some of the things that are being done to help stop that. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And we're first going to talk a little bit with my guest co-host, which is Patrick Erlandson. And we're going to talk a little bit about what he's doing, which is the See It, End It Film and Arts Festival. And that's going to be coming up soon. We'll go more into that. But a little bit about Patrick is that he's the second of seven siblings. His father was a professor at Loyola Marymount here in Los Angeles. And if you ask him, he'll tell you that his mother is a saint who inspired all of her children to believe that we can all make a difference in the world. And so, I mean, I love her already. Okay, got to tell you, as soon as I heard that. So, Patrick, you know, instead of me sharing a lot of this stuff, tell us a little bit more about you. Tell us, how you first learned about human trafficking and what brought you to this, because, you know, your mother asking you to make a difference in the world and training to that is one thing. Choosing this subject is another.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Alan, so much for allowing me to be here and to share the microphone with you.
Yeah,
I think for me, I'm an English teacher by profession, and I had an opportunity when the United Nations Refugee Agency opened an office here in Los Angeles. I applied to go to work there because I had so much information, so many concerns about people from around the world and people that were being marginalized and discriminated against in many different ways. You had people crossing borders without any kind of protections that the rest of us kind of take for granted. And while I was working with the UN Refugee Agency, then we started getting field reports about children being having their organs harvested in Egypt as they crossed the desert to escape from fighting in southern Sudan. And that just so horrified me that I began to research everything about human trafficking, and then discovering just how prevalent it is here in our own communities, in our own country, in our own state of California, which has peak areas of human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And also just finding how prevalent it is just in local communities. My daughter, when she was about 10 years old, was approached in one of the shopping malls here in Los Angeles by a guy who was trying to recruit her for modeling, which is a common cover for trafficking.
A code.
And they look for vulnerable children. And I think when we think about it, as parents, you think about, you know, our children, like, what child doesn't have complaints and gripes against their parents? And these guys are experts at zeroing right in on that and appealing to them, giving them the support that they want, and then luring them into a life where they're just completely exploited and used, abused, and often left for dead. So discovering that was happening here locally is what really inspired me to take a stand and not just turn my back on it, not just say, tis, tis, that's a shame.
And so one of the things that I love about what you're doing is you're shining a light on it. And as someone who was sort of a boots on the ground person many years ago, 35 or more years ago, you know, as I was locating runaways, I was running into that same thing. As they would run away, they would have a problem at home, not realizing that they would then be taken in by somebody who would exploit them. And when I learned about that, I would tell law enforcement, hey, you know, I found out this, and or I believe that this is happening. And too many times they would look at me and shake their head and go, look, you don't have to lie to us to get our help. I mean, you know, I know we don't normally get involved in runaway cases and stuff, you know, and I'd go, no, really, because of this last one, I really think this is it. And they go, yeah, that stuff goes on over in third world countries. It really doesn't go on here. You know, and so that was the answer to try to get assistance at that time. So for people like yourself who have now you're shining a light on it. And I love the fact that, you know, that you now, you have a film festival, which is, you know, the See It, End It Film Festival. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So taking all of the movies that are being done on that subject, putting them all in one place, I think is a great way to get people to pay attention, to be able to understand it. It's great. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wish we could take them all and put them in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there's a lot of really great films that are being made that are dealing with different aspects of human trafficking. And as you talk about shining a spotlight on things, I think many people have the misconception that awareness is enough. Awareness is the beginning. But if without awareness, nothing is going to happen. It has to start from people being aware that this problem exists. I never forget talking with Ori Freeman, who was a young survivor. She was trafficked at the age of 12 outside of Disneyland. And I remember she told me that she was standing on a street corner. She should have been in school. She was wearing totally inappropriate clothes, and nobody said one word to her, and she felt invisible. And to me, that's why I feel like we need a bright spotlight for people to realize that this is happening to children in our neighborhoods around the corner, and people are just dismissing it. So with the Film and Art Festival, what we envision is bringing together the arts. So singing, we have music, we have dance, we have spoken word. Bringing together artists who have a heart for this issue, as well as a collection of films that deal with different aspects. We have a short film that deals with how girls are pulled back in. Like, they want to get out. They feel that their trafficker is their boyfriend, which is really common in America. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of third world countries, there's a lot more abuse that goes on. But especially here in America, it's someone woos you and convinces you that they care about you, and then they turn you into their product in order for them to make money. And I think shining a light on exactly why these girls don't run away, I think of all the questions I get every time we speak about human trafficking as, well, if they're standing on a street corner, why don't they run away? And they don't realize just how deep the hooks are from the traffickers, either through fear — they're a lot more afraid of the traffickers than they are of the police — is fear, or the feeling that actually this guy loves them and they're doing this. They're suffering in this way in order for a future life together. And so the film addressed that. We have films that address different aspects. Meeting someone online, a complete stranger that you end up trusting and then going to meet, and then you disappear. And so there's such a variety of different angles that this horror happens. Yeah. And so through a variety of films, people can get educated in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I had a case that kind of answers that point, because you're absolutely right. You know, people will say, well, it can't be that bad. They're on the corner. Why don't they just walk away? And we had a case in which, in another country, where I went in and found a girl in a brothel and paid extra to take her out. And they call it a bar fine. Okay, you pay extra, you take them out. So, and when you take them out, they send a stringer, which means they're sending, that you're paying extra because they're sending somebody that's watching you to make sure that you don't take off with them. Well, we go back to a hotel, we get there, I have a female agent that's with me in the hotel, I pull out a video, I pull out pictures of her family, you're rescued, we've saved you, and I'm hoping that I'm going to get this reaction of, thank you, this, she starts crying and says, no, we can't do this. I go, what do you mean? And she pulls a picture out herself. Anyway, she pulls a picture out, and it's a picture of her sister in crosshairs. So the people that are exploiting her said, if you ever take off, we know where your family's at. Here's a picture. Okay. So at that point, she wouldn't go with us. So we then had to take her back and then go and move her family. We did another video of her family with a newspaper showing the date and everything, saying to her, we've been moved. We are no longer where anybody can know where we're at. So whatever pictures they show you are doctored. It's not real. We've been moved. Please leave with them. And we will leave you. Time is when we got the big hug and the thank you and stuff to be able to go. But it was incredibly disheartening. And again, but it answers that question that you bring up is, well, why don't they just leave?
What I found, too, in going to Cambodia, meeting with different organizations that were working there, but you have this twisting of filial love, which to me, these are things, these are natural kind of God-given things that are inside of us, like to love our parents, to want to support our families. And so a family will send their daughter to a brothel. So she won't leave, because this is her filial duty to her family, to endure the kind of shame and the kind of treatment she's going through all day, every day. But in her mind, this is how I can love my family. And that, to me, is just so heartbreaking.
So what can people do to help, to get involved, share what anybody can do to help with the film festival or to just make a difference?
Well, there's so many stabbed and left in gutters by their traffickers. And so for my thing was really like, how do we start dealing with prevention? And we need education in a lot of different areas. I had a father conference last November. My conclusion is that a lot of the vulnerability that's leading children to be exploited in the way that they are is not having that first safety and security that comes from a father in the home. And where you have abusive fathers, you have missing fathers, distracted fathers. And increasingly, what we're finding, you have fathers that are addicted to pornography. They lose the moral authority to be able to guide their children and to protect them. And then there's something missing in those children that allows them to be trafficked. So looking at fatherhood, we really need to strengthen and really emphasize the significance of fathers in the lives of their children, daughters and sons. So there's a lot of different areas that people can get involved. With the film festival, of course, we want huge numbers of people to come, because if we can fill the theater, we send a message to kind of political leaders. We send a message to law enforcement that this is something really on the minds of and important to our community, and not just domestically, but also for what's happening to children abroad. One of the things that I feel so hard, I mean, it's just a hurt about it, is just that people wait until it happens to them. And that's too late. If your child goes missing, if your cousin goes missing, it's too late. We gotta get in the game before that and really see an end to this. So the film festival is a chance to come and learn, even if you know about human trafficking or if you don't know anything. Recently, human trafficking is thrown about. With all the talk about building the wall on the border, it comes up a lot that we need to stop human trafficking. There's a lot of misconceptions about what human trafficking is. And I think through the film festival, you'll be able to see a film, have your heart moved, and then we have expert panels. We have survivors that are there talking to you that can give the context to understand this issue and then to get involved. But the film festival is a great way as a kind of a starting point for you to get involved. There's organizations there. You can learn what they're doing. Everybody needs funding. At the very least, you can do that. There's hotline numbers. You can put them into your phone. So if you see anything, you can say something. But basically, until we really see this and recognize it as a problem locally, that there are recruiters on school campuses. I think, like, I've heard that in almost every middle school and high school, there's at least one student who's there scoping out which kids are vulnerable that can be exploited. So we can raise the alarm. We can talk to our schools, see what they're doing. We can send letters to our legislators and make sure that there's laws being put in place that deal with the demand side of this issue.
Okay, so to help, let's get people there. Let's get tickets.
Great.
So for those of you that are in Southern California, where can they get tickets? And is it streaming anywhere to where people can also see it online, either during or after?
There will be some people that will be streaming film from the events. So that will be to come. You can go onto the website, which is seeitendit.com. It's seeitendit.com. Tickets are available there. The whole schedule is there. You can see which films are being offered, the performers that are going to be there. It's going to be Friday night, the 29th of March, from 6 to 10 p.m., and then all day Saturday from 10 to 10 p.m. We have a youth program for programs that are designed, written, directed, performed by high school students. We have a kids program, which is free for anyone who's of elementary school age to learn cyber safety, how to be safe on the internet, because that's a common danger now. People don't realize just how much strangers are being invited into your home from the world through the internet. They can buy tickets there online, also Eventbrite. We have tickets available there. And you can buy tickets for just one film, one segment of the weekend, or you can get an all-day pass or a two-day pass. So we really welcome everyone to come.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge what you're doing. I think it's wonderful. And for everybody out there, if you were driving, if you couldn't write that down or something like that, if you go to the Answers for the Family website, we will have all that information on there. So, please get involved, get educated. And this is one way that you can do it. So, Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Now, to go to the next point, one of the things that you touched on that I thought was great, which is prevention. You know, the main thing is prevention. Well, our guests are doing just that. And that's one of the things that I think is great, because what we're going to talk about is it's the Attitude is Everything Foundation. That's where we're going to make a difference, is to be able to provide the type of self-worth and self-esteem with kids that they're not going to get brought into that. And Patrick, you touched on a great thing when you said there are spotters that are out there that are looking for somebody. And what they're looking for is that kid. They can tell just by the way in which they don't make eye contact, or the way in which they walk, or the way in which their head is down. There's a low self-esteem that they're looking for, because that's easier for them to manipulate. So,
one thing too that we found, traffickers themselves have told us that what they look for, if they go up to someone and say, "Wow, your eyes are beautiful," if they come up and say that to a young girl, and she says thank you, and she's kind of
embarrassed,
kind of touches her in some way, embarrassed, that's the person they go after. If you say, yeah, mm-hmm. I am.
Super confident.
Yeah. They leave you right away. And so that's why I love what you are doing.
Exactly.
And that raising that attitude of self-confidence is really something that they stay away from.
Yeah. No, love what you're doing as well. And it seems very timely, not to get controversial right off the bat here, but with what's going on with the R. Kelly situation or Michael Jackson, allegedly, all these things, of course. But like the same thing, you see these people, their minds are being conditioned. They're young, they're impressionable. They think they're in love with someone. And then they're willing to do these things. We've had it even on some of our tours, which we'll get into up in Alaska, our video, the one girl, they straight up told her that, a father figure was doing inappropriate things, and if you say anything, I'm going to kill your mom. You know, so it's really heavy stuff. And even like with adults, I don't know if you ever saw the Scientology documentary, but these people were down in the basement, locked down, and they come out and go and do a media interview, and they attack I think it was Anderson Cooper. They attack him like, "How dare you say these things?" And then they're taken right back to that basement where they're on lockdown because they're loyal to what they believe in. Even though they themselves are being victimized. So what you're doing is so amazing, and I think it's so cool that you found your purpose, and then you've turned and dedicated your whole life to it. And that's a big thing for us with the kids, too, is helping them find their purpose, which is tough, right, when you're a kid, because you don't know what you want to do yet. You're still figuring it out. I didn't figure it out. I have 26 is when I figured it out. Like, this is the thing. But up until then, I was just like, I want to play basketball, or I want to do these different things. But finding that why. So I just commend you for that and want to acknowledge you as well. Love what you're doing.
Thank
and
you so much.
And I think the See It, End It festival is just going to be awesome, and people are going to have their lives changed. And that's the other cool thing is I think the awareness is getting out there more. And it's shocking to hear these things from you because you don't realize it's happening right here. But it's like we hear like, oh, there's human trafficking and sex trafficking and these things, but you don't realize how close to home it can really be. And you might know people, or there might be people at your school or in your community or in your neighborhood. So, you know, any way we can help, we love it. Yeah, that's we great. Love it.
Awareness is definitely growing. I know 10 years ago when I was in the schools working on programs, and it was fairly new. The schools weren't interested in having people come in and educate the
That's
kids
right.
And now they're starting to warm up to the idea, and they're really realizing how important it is to teach what self-esteem and awareness of what's going on.
Well, yeah, California now has a law, right?
Yeah, no, I would just say, but so for those of you on Facebook Live that are watching, as well as that are listening, so that was Jesse LeBeau and Jennifer Polich, and they are the ones that are running the Attitude is Everything Foundation. But let me share a little bit of information about them so that you understand where they're coming from. Because Jesse himself, he grew up as a sort of undersized, overmatched basketball player, you know, on a remote Alaskan island, and at a young age, you know, he developed a love for sports, particularly basketball. And he uses that when he goes out to schools as a way to get people's attention and to show young people that at any age, at any size, at any ability, whatever, you can learn things and you can have the kind of self-esteem that makes you feel great, that makes you feel proud, and also makes it to where you are not attractive to these people that are going to try to exploit you. And, you know, and despite his size or his circumstances or anything, he managed to rise above all of it. You know, he became a known figure in the world of street ball. He was regular on television and film and international tours. You know, he was involved in nationally televised games on Fox News, and he played with some of the best players in the world. He landed a commercial with Kobe Bryant and other NBA players. So all of this, starting from this little island, and turned it into something by showing that you can do anything that you set your mind to, which I think is great. And then with Jennifer, so Jennifer's been a teen advocate for many years, and she's dedicated to educating and empower youth. Her passion has been to help youth get beyond, you know, whatever it is that's holding them back. She's continued to work as a volunteer, and she was in the capacity where she was hiring artists and speakers and educators to address social issues affecting teens, including low self-esteem, which is, again, what we're talking about, but also is kids that were dealing with drugs or alcohol or bullying or whatever it is that we're going through. And this experience gave her an even greater awareness of all of the problems that many youth are dealing with. Well, in 2016, they got together and they established the Attitude is Everything Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation that if those of you want to get involved in or you want to make a donation, you'll be able to do that as well. And she currently serves as the president of the program, and it includes national motivation speaking tours, youth conferences, TV shows, inspiring celebrity podcasts, books, life coaching, and anything to where people are working as an attitude ambassador. That's the goal with what it is that they're doing, and they're helping young people establish life lessons. So I really want to thank both of you for being here, you know, as well as Patrick. I think we have such great synergy, obviously, and then with Gabriella calling in, you know, to me, we have a tribe of people that are all trying to make a positive difference, and I'm just so thankful and grateful for all of you and what it is that you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's awesome. We're excited to be here. Hopefully we got some answers for the family.
That's right. Yeah, and I think we've already given some answers, and self-esteem starts at home.
That's right.
You know, so you as parents out there, if you're going to be able to establish anything in your child, establish self-esteem, because with that, if there's a problem, they're going to come back and talk to you about it because they're going to feel like it's okay to talk to you about it. You know, as opposed to what Patrick had brought up, if you have somebody that has low self-esteem and somebody talks to them, well, not only are they going to sort of cower down and not say something at that moment to keep it from happening, but they're probably not going to say something when they get home either.
One thing, too, on that is sometimes the trusted adult in a child's life is not their parent at home. And so I think the call to all of us is how do we become father figures and mother figures and mentors for children who are lacking that?
Yeah, 100%. That's the biggest thing we see, and that's how this all got started. I was touring across the world with Allen Iverson playing basketball, and kids would come up to us really excited and really just passionate, and you could tell all they wanted was your attention. And you would, it was just tough to see because they were just excited because I was doing tricks with a basketball. And this would happen everywhere we go. And I realized they didn't have that. They didn't have the role model. They didn't have the mentor. They didn't have the parents. Like you're saying, having great parents, parental figures is such a huge, amazing, powerful thing. But a lot of these kids that you're talking about, Patrick, don't have that. And some of them do, but a lot of them don't have that. And that's why they're kind of on the outside and they're looking for love and they're looking for validation and they're looking for someone who cares. So that's what this whole thing was born out of, as us wanting to put them in with role models and mentors. And I saw I just had the ability to capture their attention through basketball and being some of the Hollywood glitz and glamour and getting their attention. And then I could share a powerful message, but then I wanted to plug those people in with the community members that are going to be consistently in their lives throughout their entire teenage years. So whether it's the local Boys and Girls Club, the YMCAs, the mentorship programs, we just come in and we light that spark and we get them excited. And then we bring those community people in who can be the day-to-day boots on the ground folks. And so that's what's been beautiful to see how that has all come together. And exactly what you were saying, self-esteem. That's the big thing. All these issues, whether it's the bullying, whether it's the dropout, joining gangs, getting human trafficking, it all comes back to self-esteem. And so that's the number one thing that we target. And we do it through these motivational tours where we go and do a presentation. We do an event, a lot of fun, a lot of cool people show up. But then we have a 28-week self-esteem curriculum. Plug them into those Boys and Girls Clubs, and then we have TV show programming and incorporate celebrities and all these things. But it's really all that fun, goofy stuff. It's just to get their attention so we can be like, you're good enough. You know, you need to love yourself, and you need to tell yourself a positive self story. We love Gabrielle. We love the kindness. We love all that stuff. But here's the reality, and again, I'm not trying to be controversial. The world's not kind. On the way here today, I don't know about you, but I had three people honk at me, flip me the bird. So when we shelter these people in these schools and we're like, be kindest, everything's perfect, we're doing a disservice to kids. And that's the big problem that we have today. Be the kindest person you can. I love it. Being kind is probably the most selfish thing that you can do. If you want to actually be a selfish person, be kind because it makes you feel amazing, right? But when we shelter these kids, we don't let them fail. We give them participation trophies for getting ninth place. We tell them they're, oh, little Mary Sue, you're so beautiful. You're so perfect. Oh, it's the teacher's fault you didn't get a good grade. No, you little punk, you didn't do the work. You need to earn it. You need to fail. The best thing you can do as a parent is let your kids fail. Be supportive of them, but let them fail and be real. And that's how they learn to go out in the world that isn't kind, that you are going to fail, that is dog-eat-dog competition, and that's how you breed success. Yeah. And it's tough because every kid's temperament is different. You might be able to be hard on one kid, and that causes them to rise above the things where another kid in the same family, you know, not too many years apart, you have to know how to communicate with them. And I like that because I was a point guard in basketball, and so there'd be some guys I'd have to punch in the chest before the game to get them fired up, and another guy you'd have to talk real timid because they'll get his feelings hurt. But you have to know how to connect with people. And that's what's so fun about doing what we do is we meet people from all over the world, and we connect with them, and it's always different. They all come from different walks of life.
I think, too, what Jesse's saying is that the self-esteem has to be real. You can't just tell them they're great. You have to teach them how to respond when things happen to them, and they have to believe that they're great. So it's not just, it's not fake greatness.
No, and that's a great point, because when you brought up, you know, you're not going to have self-esteem for getting a trophy for ninth place.
Exactly.
That's what you mean by,
things are going to happen, but it's how you respond.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're trying to teach them, to believe in themselves.
It's, real life.
And that's what's cool, and it's, I think, a very beautiful, works complementary to each other, is I wouldn't be able to go do what you're doing, because my whole story is basically I was an underdog, and I had to do all of the right things to even have a chance to get a college scholarship, to create the career that I wanted and do what I'm doing now, where a lot of people go into schools and I was on top of the world, and then I became a drug addict. And they have these stories of where they basically made all the wrong choices.
Right.
Which, hey, those scare stories and scare tactics, you know, are great. And I think you need all kinds. But that's just not my story. My story is, look, if you want something really bad, like you, that's that dream, that passion, that thing you have in your heart. Well, guess what? You need to do everything that you possibly can. You need to surround yourself with great people that have already done it successfully and support you. You need to outwork everyone. You need to have the right attitude. And so it's just a beautiful thing to see. Our whole thing is, we don't want to see kids go down this road that a lot of them, unfortunately, are going down, whether it's a trafficking situation or just a drug addiction. My best friend in seventh grade, his parents got a divorce. We were on a little league team. Some other adult came, got him started on drugs, and it's 10 years later, and his life is still completely messed up, because that started his whole life down a road and spiral where he just got out of jail, and it's all because of decisions he made in middle school. And so that's why we like to get them younger, so that we can impart these lessons and get that self-esteem going, and hopefully prevent them from having to be rescued by you guys. We mm-hmm. don't want anyone to have to go through that.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, what are some of the upcoming events that people can go to and see the show?
Well, as you can tell, I'm behind the scenes, and Jesse is in front of the scenes. He does all the talking.
She said she wanted to do all the talking today, so yeah. I'm done.
When we go into the schools, you know, he comes in and he shares his vulnerability with them, and this is what makes the kids open up to us, or open up to him. We always hear from the administration at schools that they had no idea the kids were going through any of these things. This always blows my mind. They'll line up to share the things that they're going through at home, and it's endless stories. And we always hear that no one knew this was happening, because they put a smile on their face. They look like they're just happy kids. But it's a serious problem, and we are touring the country. We're going everywhere. Jesse's on his way to Alaska
on
week.
Thursday. We're going out to some remote native villages. Going to be part of a different festival of sorts. It's Native Alaskan dancing. So I'm going to embarrass myself and try to bust some moves. And then we're going to the very top of the world. We're going to Barrow, Alaska, the most northern point of the United States, and doing the same thing up there. And we're touring and shooting the show. This is a kind of a fun story I'll share with you. For the last 5 years, I've had a dream in my heart. Before, I always wanted to be a basketball player, and then got the speaker thing going. And now I want to have my own show. And so I've been in developing this and building it, building the foundation, getting the speaking gigs, getting the experience. What would the show look like? And out here, I've had some really cool opportunities come up, but I didn't feel like it was with the right people or with the right timing. And then you get to a point where you get told no. No, you're not famous enough. You don't have enough followers. People don't want to watch a show that helps people. They want to watch Jersey Shore and the Kim Kardashian show or whatever it's called. And so that put a little chip on my shoulder of like, you know what? You're wrong. I'm in all these schools. I'm speaking to, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids every year. I've played episodes of this stuff. They love it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to shoot the show myself. I'm going to figure out how to get the funding. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to have anyone tell me how to do my show. And I respect people like Anthony Bourdain and people who have done the same thing, where they go and they're like, no, we're not faking what happens in this city or in this country. What mm-hmm. happens is real, and we want to mm-hmm. show the reality. And that's the best part about this show. So we're doing a whole tour this year, and we're going to be shooting the first 10 episodes. And we have Mark Wahlberg on as an executive producer. So it's really exciting, and it's really us just going and meeting these kids and having fun adventures, and then taking the kids that are going through things like we've talked about and partnering them with pro athletes and celebrities who can help them. And so we're so excited, because it was really born out of, this is what's really going on in our lives, and we really want to help these kids after just one day. And that was, like I said, why we develop all these different programs and partners was we want to be a long-term lasting impact where we transform these kids' lives and they have these people that can help them forever. So
yeah,
we're so excited.
We've also partnered with Boys and Girls Clubs and they've adopted our curriculum, which is it's a peer-to-peer attitude ambassador program. The ambassadors teach the lessons, the 28 life lessons that they teach to the other students every week. So if anybody's interested in that, you can find that on the attitudeiseverythingfoundation.org website.
You're really good at this.
That's great.
We're going to get you in front of the camera and the mic all the time now. Better watch yourself.
I got to say, what Boys and Girls Club, they're making a film for us that we're showing in
Wonderful.
The
I saw I saw them, yeah, on the flyer. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, we love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I love
it. So great.
No, but that's the whole thing is that if we can all look for people that we can collaborate with, that's part of the same tribe that wants to do something positive. And I love the fact that you're doing the show. I'm one of those people that I say it on the air. I say it whenever I can. Stop watching a lot of the crap that is out there. You know, train wreck television that's supposedly to give somebody some short feeling of feeling good because they go, well, at least my life isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not snooky.
Yeah. That's not going to make any long-term positive effects for anybody. So doing positive shows, like what you're doing, that's what we need to be doing. And for everybody out there, that's where your eyeballs should be. That's where your ears should be because the reason that all of these shows stay on is because watching it. If you watch it, advertisers will pay that production company to keep making that. If you tell them, we're going to watch this show, eventually, the advertisers are going to see it when they're no longer getting the eyeballs on these other shows, and people are saying, no, we're not going to do that. So again, when people are complaining and saying, oh, this television, so everything's so bad and everything else, don't watch it. The fact that you're watching it, you're supporting it. Tell them you're going to watch something positive. You're going to watch something that's going to make a positive difference in the lives of others. And that's where we will start to make a greater difference.
Yeah. Attention's totally huge agree. Currency these yeah. days.
Yes.
It's the number one currency, your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's a great point. And for those that are watching on Facebook Live, millennial, okay? So they understand that attention is a commodity. And that's not something that was necessarily a couple of generations ago as much as it is now. So I'm glad that you're out there doing it, and people need to pay attention to just that.
All right. I love it. I'm so excited. This is really awesome, and we're just floored to be able to do this, and thank you for having us and letting us
Anytime.
Voice it out to the world.
Anytime.
I feel for your dancing in Alaska. I was in Zambia once,
okay.
And to see a 6'3" white guy dancing with a lot of Zambians just doesn't, oh boy.
Oh, I'm sure. That would make great TV right there.
Yeah, thank God there were no cameras.
Yeah. I'm bummed there weren't. I'm actually bringing a 6'5" guy that I'm gonna make him do the majority of the things. So he doesn't know, but he's going to be kind of the humor relief of the show.
Oh, great.
So we're keeping him in the dark, but.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Continue this conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, yeah, we've only got a couple of minutes, but we do have some listener questions, and I want to get those out real quick. So one is, it says, I believe that attitude is everything in life, whether it is in relationships, educational settings, or the workplace. As a business owner, I would like to hire more young people, but I want to find ones who do not feel entitled, that are punctual, and that value the opportunity that that the job gives them. And it does pay well. It does give benefits. But we're finding that 1 out of 20 are not what they appear to be during the interview process. You know, I do hope that groups such as yours can help bring back values that are so badly lacking. And this is from John in Arizona.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck with that. Now, I think young people do get a bad rap, but they're out there for sure. Go to smaller places. Go to smaller towns where they have those values and find those people. But in today's world, even if you're out in a very remote area, you know, I've been out in these little places with the Eskimo. They got access to the internet, and they know what's going on, like we're saying with the Kardashians and these things. So it is trickier, but I think in the interview process, you have to follow your gut in that thin slicing. And today we live in a world where everyone fakes everything, right? Yeah. Instagram, like, oh, look, my perfect life, my perfect relationship, my perfect home. Everything is perfect, perfect, perfect. And it's this highlight reel where I think sometimes some of the people that are the most amazing and achieve the most greatness are the people that have gone through the toughest things in life and came from the hardest of circumstances, because they really value every day and they have a second shot at it. So sometimes maybe it's finding those people that really have some grit. That's a word that Jennifer likes to use. They have some grit and they have some toughness, and they've had to learn to work. They've had to learn that life isn't just handed to you on a silver platter. So I feel their pain on that, because it is a tough one, and entitlement is a huge thing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing just to feed off that, there's an organization called Two Wings. It's twowings.org. And what they do is they take human trafficking survivors and then train them so that they can get good jobs. And they need business people to step up and be willing to give jobs to the people who have survived a horror that none of us want to imagine. They are really good employees, but they need some training. So business people can join twowings.org, and they'll train people to become really great employees.
Wow, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm so glad that you did, because that's absolutely true. And there are lots of great organizations like that that are out there. And talk about some people who are incredibly grateful for being given that second chance. So it's a great that's point right. to bring up.
Love it.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. But I mean, all of you are welcome to be back anytime. Okay, so let's do this as
careful.
Often as we can.
Careful, yeah. We'll be here all the time. We know where to find you now. Jennifer is ready to get Gabby.
No, I'm absolutely serious. So thank you, because I love the fact, I mean, you are all out there making a positive difference. And I really want to acknowledge and honor all of you for it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right back at you.
All right. Thank you. So for everybody out there, please be sure and put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday, when we will be joined by Valerie Condas Field to discuss her new book, Life is Short, Don't Wait to Dance. It's inspiration from a UCLA Athletic Hall of Fame coach. Please, when you get the opportunity, visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, which, by the way, any information you need in regards to our guests that are here today will also be there. So if you're driving, you didn't get a chance to write any of this down, but you want to get more involved, go to our site. We will have everything there. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. And that's not just for this show, but it is for everybody here. If you go to their site, if you go to their page, whatever it is, leave a review. Tell us what you are getting out of it, so that other people can look at that. Because again, as Jesse brought up, that's what this new generation looks for. You know, that's part of the currency. People look at it and they go, hey, somebody left a great review. Okay, that's going to tell more people this is worth their time. So again, for everybody out there, just be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.